Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. I pray you are empowered to walk in the fullness of your God design. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember, enforcing purpose, it starts with you. Are you comfortable in life? Well, is it possible that you are too comfortable? Could it be that you have settled in the land of permissible and are missing out on God's best for you? I am so excited for you to listen to this message that was captured at my fall 2023 conference, West Side Story. As you listen, there are two things you have to look forward to. First, my spring 2024 conference, There's a Super on Your Natural, is the next part to these messages on West Side Story. And second, this message will be published as my 8th book. Be ready for the release of that book this spring. All right, here we go. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to my channel if you haven't already and share it with a friend. All right, enjoy the show.
I want you to know that I am most excited about this message out of all the messages. I tell people when I usually get a message for a conference, and I said, like, West Side Story, last night's message was like a message, it was a now message about 6 or 8 months ago for me. And then kind of working through the message about 3 or 4 months ago, this morning's message was a now message for me. But right now, session 3 is a now message for me. And I believe that we are in a season where this is a global word, and I was kind of freaking out a couple of weeks ago. I went to see Emma Stark. The Lord said, you should go see Emma Stark, and I was like, I don't really want to go see her. I'm tired. I had to preach. I preached that Sunday morning, and so I was tired. I was like, I don't really want to go see her. And the Holy Spirit was like, well, I want you to go see her. And so I decided to give in to the Holy Spirit because, you know, that's how we do. And so I went, and I kid you not, the very first verse that she spit out was the key verse for this session. And I was reminded of many years ago when Mama Shirley, when we very first met, probably about 11 years ago, she had left a prophetic word in my office that said that the Lord would groom my prophetic anointing like that of global prophets, and that I would be getting the same message that global prophets would get. And in that moment, that word came rushing back to me because I was like, this is that which the Lord spoke many years ago, where I've been wrestling with what I wanted to speak on for session 3 and what I felt like the Lord told me to speak on, which is a now word. It's a seasonal word. And I really feel like it was a global word and necessary for us, the signs and the times of today. And then I go, and Emma Stark, a global prophet, literally, I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, oh my God. And I was totally by myself. It was perfect because I got to just really receive the encouragement directly from the Lord. So today we're going to talk about allowing the Holy Spirit to conquer your flesh. So this morning we talked about, as we're moving and allowing the West Side Story to take up more territory in our person, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to migrate across the soul, across the Jordan River, and take hold of all the territory of our flesh. So if you remember, we talked about these diagrams this morning. We talked about basically the Holy Spirit moving across the soul realm, being like the Jordan River, and now we've come to the flesh. Okay, so we're mature believers, and a lot of us are like, yeah, I've learned how to conquer my thoughts, and I've learned how to conquer my emotions. I've learned how to surrender all that to the Holy Spirit. But I believe that we are in a season where God's like, that's great, people of God, but I want to refine and I want to utilize every portion of your flesh as well. I want to have your smeller. I want to speak to you through your hearer. I want you to feel more of me. I want you to recognize my presence in the room by sense. I want you to learn how to smell demons of death and angels of light. Come on. For the Holy Spirit to take over the fullness of our flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That means just like my natural senses help me discern my surroundings, when my eyes are closed, my natural senses help me walk and not when my eyes are open, I can see where I'm going, but I use all of my senses to discern what's happening in my physical atmosphere. And my senses are used to stir up things inside of me. Example, if all of us began smelling fresh baked brownies, suddenly our senses would start stirring up a hunger and we would start craving brownies. And so we've been given these senses to give us an understanding, to help us discern what's happening in our physical environment. And I would like to propose to you that senses that are surrendered to the Holy Ghost, consumed by His presence, will help us discern what's happening in the spiritual atmosphere. That we stop discerning based on what we see, we stop discerning based on what we hear, but we discern because our senses have been exercised and we can discern between good and evil. How many of you know I just quoted a verse? Hebrews 5:14, it says this, but solid food is for spiritually mature. That's us, right? We moved from milk, east side, to we're solid food, like we did the whole foot washing thing, we did the character activation thing, and so we've thrown our baby bottles away, and we're ready for solid milk, and it says, but solid food is for the spiritually mature. And here's how the Bible describes somebody who is spiritually mature, whose senses are trained, whose senses are exercised by practice, to distinguish between good and evil. That's what it says. And I was like, where did this verse come from? And I was like, I think the ink on my Bible is wet. Something, it just appeared. And then I go to this Emma Stark and she's preaching the exact same thing. Exact same verse. And I'm like, oh, we are on it, Lord. We are on it. So I want us to talk about getting our natural senses cleansed and healed. Let's submit them to God so that God can use them. In Romans, we talked about Romans 12:2, where we're no longer going to be conformed to the pattern of the world. We're going to be transformed by the what? Renewing of our mind, right? So we're not going to just cry out to God to transform us when we realize He's like, I want to transform you, but you have to renew your mind. In verse 1, right before that, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your body, your flesh. Sorry, that's okay. Your flesh. Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. This is your reasonable act of service. Come on, what does it look like to surrender your sense of touch, to surrender your taste, to surrender your smell, to surrender your speech, to surrender your actions? I want to go farther. I want the Holy Spirit to have more territory in me. I want my smeller to be sanctified. Come on. I mean, there's a reason why COVID took your smell away. He don't want you to smell. Because the devil knows something we haven't figured out as a people of God, and that is that God wants to reveal things to you through your smeller and through your taste. What does the Bible say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so if I could, I'm just going to kind of, I really just want to have some fun with you and tell you about, I was geeking out on this message. Like, my poor staff is like, oh my God, stop it with the message. I'm like, guys, you got to hear this verse. You know, what does life smell like to God? What does life, fruitfulness, what does it smell like to God? The Old Testament mentions things that are a soothing aroma to the Lord. Now, I don't know what that smells like, but I'd like to know. Come on, I'd like to know, and I believe it's possible to know. In Genesis 8, he talks about the renewal of the covenant on the earth and with man being a soothing aroma to him. That when he restored man, he restored his covenant, the Bible says it was a soothing aroma to the Lord. The burnt offerings throughout the Old Testament are also called a soothing aroma to the Lord. I don't know what that smells like, but I would certainly like to know. And the point is God clearly can smell. But I bet he doesn't smell like we smell. I bet he doesn't smell what we smell. And if we are designed in his image, we have to embrace the fact that it's possible we have a supernatural sniffer, that we can sniff out demons, that we can smell things. Again, my Nebraska friends, he said last night, first time we've ever fallen, we've been forever followers but never fallen. Is that what you said to me? It was so fun. Forever followers but never fallen. He's slain in the spirit. He said immediately I began smelling water. And then they said they went back to their hotel and the sprinklers had sprung a leak. Is that correct? And there was water everywhere, and he could smell the water. He's like, but I smelt it before we got there. And I'm like, you received that. See, a lot of us would write that off. We would dismiss that. We would see a burning bush, and we would be like, oh, that's just a natural phenomenon. But when Moses didn't turn aside and he saw something supernatural, that's when he received and heard a supernatural sound, the voice of God. All right, so in the New Testament, what does Jesus smell like? So we know in the Old Testament that God refers to things as being a soothing aroma. What does Jesus smell like? Well, in Ephesians 5, it says Jesus became the ultimate smell of sacrifice. What does sacrifice smell like? It's a soothing aroma to the Lord. He became the smell of sacrifice and is referred to as a fragrant aroma. What do we smell like? The Bible talks about what we smell like. It says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance. Come on. He diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. So what do we smell like to God? We smell like Jesus. I hope when you smell me, I smell like Jesus and I don't smell stinky. I try and tell people when they're walking around, we liken it to toddlers who have poo-poo in their pants and they have no idea. And sometimes they'll be like, you got poo-poo in your pants and we can all smell it. Right? We want to smell like Jesus because to God, we are the fragrance of Christ among those being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma leading to life. Listen to this. What do our prayers smell like? What do our prayers smell like? Y'all, I'm just going right through Scripture for you. Because you know what? Pastor Gary's not in the room. I said, I think this is what the Lord wants. He's like, you can do it because you teach well from the Bible. Make sure you teach it from the Bible. Teach it from the Bible. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to teach it right from the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. What do our prayers smell like? Or at least, what should they smell like? Revelation 5 says that there were golden bowls that represented the prayers of saints. Golden bowls of incense that represented the prayers of saints, indicating that our prayers release an aroma in the heavens. Come on, that's what our prayers. What does worship smell like? Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume and pure nard and anointed and worshiped at the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of worship. What does worship smell like? Come on. What does love smell like? In Hosea, he refers multiple times to the smell of love, not to mention Song of Songs, who has a significant amount of references to smells and scents. He says, the Shulamite's breath smells like green apples. Okay, so again, denoting the idea that there is smell in the Spirit. And finally, what does God smell like? Anybody want to take a crack at that one? Because in Psalm 45, it tells us that God's garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia. So perhaps he smells like Christmas. But the point is there are all kinds of aromas spoken of throughout the Bible that I feel like, as a people of God, we have not tapped into spiritually because we're so distracted by what we smell in the natural. Let's talk about taste. There are approximately 30 to 35 verses in the Bible that make reference to the sense of taste, not to mention the number of verses that talk about eating, okay? Such as Psalm 23, where he says, you will eat in the presence, you will eat of the goodness of the Lord in the presence of mine enemy. What does it mean to actually eat? What does it mean to taste peace when there are snakes in your shower? Come on, what does it mean to eat the abundance of his love in the midst of rejection? Come on, what does it taste like to be lapping up the acceptance of the Lord when all the world has rejected you? It's possible that there's a spiritual taste to all of those things that God wants to, I know that God wants to lose. Expect that you're going to start tasting and smelling funny. Not you're going to taste, you're going to, the things you, never mind. Listen to this. It's not just about tasting something, but also the idea of things being savory. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Ezekiel ate the scroll and it was sweet like honey. Come on, it denotes the idea. Anybody ever read the Word of God and start going, something smell, something tastes sweet in my mouth? Nobody? Nobody? Why not? Right? Like, do we have a taste in our mouth when we're reading the Word? I wonder if we're missing out. Because we haven't stopped to exercise our senses so we can discern between good and evil. It goes on and it says this. 1 Peter 2:3 says, it refers to tasting the kindness and the graciousness of the Lord. What does it mean to taste kindness? To taste graciousness? Hebrews 4 talks about tasting the heavenly gift and experiencing the taste of the Word of God. I'm just reading scripture to you. I think we might be missing out. I think we might be missing out. Not to mention the number of verses that, again, talk about eating. In Luke 22:29-30, it says, "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." This is a now word. What does it mean for me to scooch up my chair at my office, open up my Bible, and taste the goodness of God? Come on, I think sometimes we look at the scriptures and we look at it more metaphorically than it really is. I believe when he says you can taste the goodness of the Lord, that I might be missing out on something that God wants to release in my taster. Consider the fruit of the Spirit. What does peace taste like? What does patience taste like? What does faithfulness taste like? Jesus himself refers to himself as the bread of life, denoting the idea that he's a carb. I love that. I have these conversations with the Lord in my closet. I'm like, oh God, you're a carb. I love it. In addition, the Bible also warns us about becoming tasteless or without any savor for the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again?" Again, denoting the idea that there is a savory experience that God has in mind for us, and he wants you to be that savory experience for other people. If we want people to taste and see that the Lord is good, we better give them something to taste. We better be low-hanging fruit. The peace of God better be hanging off of you. The love of God better be hanging off of you. Come on, the patience of the kingdom should be hanging off of you. That when people are around you, like, man, I taste something good when I'm around her. I smell something good when I'm around her. I feel good when I'm around her. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. In Luke 14:24, it says, "For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my dinner." Come on, that's a rebuke where he's like, you've invited all these people, but none of them have showed up, and they will not taste my dinner. Because you can be invited, but not show up. And you will miss out on the dinner, the fullness of God. Let's talk about the Bible also talks in multiple places about the taste of death. So again, I'm just trying to teach you guys that there's so much reference to our senses in Scripture. No wonder the Lord is saying we are in a season where I want you to surrender your physical senses so I can reveal more intel to my people. This is the season we are in. This is the season we are in. Okay, so hearing, approximately 90 verses that refer specifically to hearing the voice of God. In Isaiah 30:21, he says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it." What are we hearing? A voice behind me. I'm hearing something supernatural. That's not natural. I'm hearing something supernatural. In John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." In 1 Kings 8:14, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and drink, for there is a sound," which in the Hebrew actually is the word voice, "of an abundance of rain." Never knew that before. I just thought he heard rain. Actually denotes the idea of he heard a voice that sounded like an abundance of rain. We wonder why Elijah was able to pray with such tenacity. We say he had such faith, but his faith was spurred by a supernatural hearing. And I wonder if we open our ears and we hear more supernaturally in our closet, if we might have the faith to pray the rain through. to the point where you proclaim it, even when it's still just the size of a man's hand, a cloud the size of a man's hand, to the point where, remember, a prophet, if they gave a false word and it didn't come true, and you can evidence that word, they were killed. They were killed for it. The sound of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the sound of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound. Anybody heard the Holy Spirit? Some of us probably have, but how many are like, well, I mean, if he's always with me, come on, I want to hear the Holy Spirit. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come and they were all gathered in one place, suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Come on. Acts 7:51, Stephen tells the Pharisees that they are unable to hear because their ears are uncircumcised. They were unable to hear the gospel, even though he was preaching the same thing to everyone. Those who had uncircumcised ears, in other words, my ears are made of flesh, and I haven't learned how to surrender them to the Spirit. That's an uncircumcised ear, and they were unable to hear. Pay attention to how you hear. Nicodemus heard a message, and he only understood it with his natural ears because he only heard what he knew in the natural. When he said, am I going to climb back up into my mother's womb to be born again? He was unable to hear supernaturally. All he heard was a natural message, which is, well, if I'm going to be born again, I guess I got to climb back up into my mother's womb. And many of us get a prophetic word. Some of you got a prophetic word today, and you received the word naturally, and you're like, it didn't really make very much sense to me. Well, I don't know. Well, open up your spiritual ears. Circumcise the fleshy parts of your ears and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that perhaps when they said, you will be reborn, it doesn't mean climbing back up into your mother's womb. God has spoken over to me here for years that I would have a global ministry, and secretly in my closet, I was like, that sounds terrible. I do not like to rough it. I'm really spoiled, and I don't want to travel to Africa. So because I heard that I must be getting on a plane and must be traveling all around the world globally, I never thought in my life, our number two watch is India. I never thought in my life, because I put what I was hearing in the box of the natural, and I was unable to experience the fuller portions of what God was saying. P.S. later on in that passage, while Stephen is being stoned, he saw the heavens open up, which we're about to talk about spiritual sight. Standing, and he saw them open up, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father. I wonder how many people were standing there and didn't see what he saw, and I wonder why. Even Jesus himself operated through supernatural hearing, and the Bible says he only said what he heard the Father saying. He never spoke unless he heard the Father saying. What about the things that you don't hear when you're in the Spirit? I talked to you earlier about how Jesus stooped down as if he didn't hear in John chapter 8. When your ears are tuned into the supernatural, not only do you hear the sounds of heaven, but your ear gets deafened to the sounds of the world. Come on, that sounds nice. That sounds nice. I don't want to be ignorant, but I don't want to be so overwhelmed by the sounds of the world that I don't hear the sounds of the spiritual. The sounds of the voices in your own head will be silenced. The sounds of your past will be silenced. The sounds of the opinions of those around you will be silenced. The facts will be silenced. The narrative in the media will be silenced, because the only narrative you will hear is the narrative of Jesus Christ. Some of us need to practice deafening our ear to the natural and opening our ear to the Spirit. There are times when we need to recognize the beauty of being deafened to the sounds of the devil and being ignorant to his ploys. I'm sorry, are you talking to me? Oh, I didn't think so. Come on. I'm going to talk to the devil like that. When he shows up, I'm like, nobody invited you into this conversation. You know, I'll wake up with a headache and I'm like, nobody invited this headache into my day. So I refuse it in the name of Jesus. And I want to become distracted by the sound of heaven. I want, when people are talking to me naturally, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. I'm listening to angels sing. Come on, because angels are singing. I want to hear that. Let's talk about touch and feel. to touch supernaturally. Let's just think about the woman with issue of blood. This was not a natural touch. The Bible says when she reached out and touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, he felt power. But come on. This story just amazes me every time I read it. The unction that a woman with an issue of blood who had no teaching of a Messiah, something about him did something within her that she said, I'm going to reach out, I'm going to touch his cloak. And it took him by surprise. Can you imagine being so audacious in the spirit that God's like, whoa, who touched me? Oh, that was Lisa. That was Lisa touching somebody and putting a demand on my healing. That was Lisa touching somebody and putting a demand on the prophet. Come on, that was Jess touching somebody and they got up from the dead. Come on, who touched me? Because when you're touching people, it's not a natural touch. It's a supernatural touch. I remember being at a prayer meeting with Patty and Frank. You guys met them. They're over here. Craziest couple I've ever met in my life. Those are the people like, we're digging wells. We're digging wells. We're digging wells. And I'm like, I don't know what we're doing, but we're digging wells. Because if they're getting a well, I'm getting one too. So I'm not going to get left behind. As prophetic as you can get out. Crazy, hooky, best times of my life are at their house. Yes. And so Patty says, I really feel like the Lord wants me to pass my mantle on to you for Johnson County, become kind of a prayer warrior in this area. All kinds of beautiful things that she had done in this prayer time, what have you. But two things I want to share with you. One is Donna's not here anymore. She was there too. I remember y'all like being in a chair like this, and I was, the Spirit of the Lord was getting so heavy, I was like doing this. As they're all just kind of praying and praying over me. Now, they're all singing a song, and we don't all have the loveliest voices, so we were making a joyful noise. Can I say that, Patty? We were making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'm, like, getting so heavy in the spirit. And Kwaku, it's a guy from Africa, he begins to speak. You guys probably remember, he says, Lisa, the Lord said, be careful what you touch. For whatsoever you touch shall be touched by the hand of God. Do you remember him saying that? And I was like, oh, God, I am melting into the ground. He's pouring oil over my head. Donna Parker says, and all the Lord will bow, all the people will bow before the Lord our God. And I was like, that's my cue. I'm going down. So I go down, and when I'm down, two things happen to me. One, I swear to goodness, they were singing in the room, and it was like I could hear angelic hosts. Just like my ears opened up, and I was like, and I couldn't lift my head. I was like, there are angels in the room. And I'm like, do you guys hear that? I'm like, ah. And two, I started to feel like there were oven mitts on my hands. And I was like, what is happening with my hands? Like, what is going on? And I really believe it was the Lord releasing that anointing. It was really, really releasing that anointing. But the point is, I could feel it. In my flesh, the Holy Spirit made his way all the way past my mind through the Jordan River to the other side and manifested from within on my hands and in my ears. That was a real experience. Adam and Eve heard the sound of God walking in the cool of the day. Which, by the way, fun fact. Adam and Eve did not walk in the cool of the garden Adam and Eve did not walk in the cool of the day with God. That was after the fall. It was after the fall that they heard the sound of God walking in the cool of the garden while they were hiding. Just fun fact. It's in Genesis chapter 3. But the point is this, is that word sound, or the cool of the day. So they heard a sound, and they felt the cool of the day. And that word cool there is the word ruach. And if anybody knows their Hebrew history, you know ruach is the word for breath or spirit. So it means breath, wind, or spirit, but it denotes the idea that the presence of God or being in the spirit has an atmospheric feeling. Come on, think with me for a moment. What does it mean like to be in the spirit and to have the spirit feel like the cool of the day? The ruach of God blowing across you. We had a general contractor who built our building, the building that we just built. And he talked about how he had broken his back and he had pain in his back. Long story made short, I went to this meeting. He's like, it wasn't your ordinary meeting. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those. He said that to me, and I was like, my facilities manager was like, she's been to some of those. He said he was standing and he was gripping the back, and he said, I had so much pain. And he's like, and I just thought, Lord, if you're not going to heal me, take me. If you're not going to heal me, take me. He said, I know this is going to sound crazy. And he told me the story. He's like, I don't want to work in your building unless you know my story. So I was like, okay. So he tells me the story. He said, and I know it's going to sound crazy, but the guy who was doing this meeting, he's walking back and forth. And he said, how many of you know that God could heal you this day and you need healing? Just put your hand up in the air. And he said, so I just put my hand in the air. And he said, my back was always filled with so much fire from pain. And he said, and in a moment, I felt a cool breeze just blow across my back, and I was healed. In a moment. That's the cool atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. What about sight? The Bible says that we are to live by faith, not by sight, meaning we don't live by natural sight. We don't live according to what is seen. We live according to what is unseen. I talked about the blind man getting to the pool of Siloam. What did Simeon see that everybody else missed? I think sometimes we read the story and we assume that Simeon, Mary, and Joseph, and the baby Jesus were the only people in the story. And he was like, oh, it's obvious that must be the Messiah. But that is not the case. If you read the historical timing, it's more likely that there were many people in the temple, but only one person saw the Messiah. How many people were touching Jesus that day with the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says that the crowd thronged about him, meaning they were pressed up against him, but only one touched him. Only one got healed. Only one pulled power from him. They were all touching him, but only one touched him spiritually. And I wonder how many of us come to church and we touch God and we're all up in his business. Come on. And we see the things of God, but we miss the revelation of who he is. We miss the revelation. Come on. Simeon saw the work of God while it was still in an infant stage. And I wonder how many of us look in the mirror and we can't see the work of God in ourselves. And we wonder why we can't recognize the work of God in people around us, because we don't have the eyes of Simeon. We're looking with the natural. We're not looking with a spiritual eyesight. What did Simeon see that everybody else missed? He saw a revelation. He saw a revelation. Consider the shift in Elisha's servant when he thought they were outnumbered by the enemy, and Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened. And suddenly he saw chariots of fire around them. I believe those chariots of fire were there the entire time. I believe there are chariots of fire around this building right now. Come on, I believe there are chariots of fire around Israel right now in the name of Jesus. We just declare that. I believe that there are chariots of fire around your family, my family, around our businesses. I believe that God has chariots of fire because there are more for me than are against me. And I'm praying that our eyes would be open. But we're so busy looking at all the chaos. We're so busy watching what the enemy is doing. We're missing out on the revelation of the work of God. We're missing out on the revelation of the work of God. In Numbers 12:8, God says to Miriam and Aaron regarding his interactions with Moses, listen to this, I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Come on, he's saying, I reveal my form to him. Come on, I want to have the presence of God reveal his form to us. Probably about a year ago or so, we were doing one of these prayer gatherings at Cleburne Family Fellowship. Patrice, you were there. God, remember how wrecked I got there? Oh, yeah. So I'd come off a conference. We had a conference that weekend, and then I went to minister that night. And so I was like, well, I'm so excited, or I'm so exhausted. And so I said to Gary, I'm just going to lay over here and just refill, yada, yada. Well, I got filled. And I was like, I mean, like, I just like really lost myself in the spirit, which is great. I lost myself in the spirit. And then I was like trying to come to, because I was like, I think it's almost my turn to go up on the stage and I'm supposed to pray something. I can't really remember what. And so I get up and I'm like, I cannot right now. I can't see. Everything got really bright. I could not see. And so I went up and I was like, Pastor Gary, I can't go up there, right? I mean, like, my whole body, and Patrice, you can bear witnesses, my whole body was just racked. I mean, just, come on, you know the Bible talks 367 times in the Bible about trembling and shaking in the presence of the Lord. People are like, that's demonic. And I'm like, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Come on, if mountains can be moved, if mountains can be held in the palm of his hand, if I, as a human, can speak to a mountain, it will be moved, and mountains can melt like wax, God can wriggle my body all he wants. I'm sorry. But I'm like, So I'm wrecked, and I'm like, I said to Pastor, I can't go up there right now. I cannot. And he looks at me straight away. He's like, it's your turn. He's like, oh, this is going to be great. I love seeing her wrecked. You get on up there to that stage. So I think I army crawled across the stage. Did I not? I did. I could not. Oh, you were there too. Look, the presence of the Lord was so, like, I'm trying to get up the steps. I'm doing this thing like this, and I could not lift my head because it was like there was a portal out on that church, and it was so bright and so brilliant. I honestly, to this day, I'm like, it was probably the most supernatural experience I've ever had live on Facebook, literally, and in front of hundreds of people. Humility, just saying that. And so, and I'm like, I thought maybe I was having a heart attack. Like, I was like, maybe I've died. I've gone to heaven. I don't know what's happening. I have no control over my body. This is overwhelming to me. I thought, if I'm not having a heart attack and this continues, it's going to kill me. That's how powerful it was. And I think I got to the center of the stage with a mic like this, and I was down like this. And I think maybe the prayer that I prayed for everybody in the room was something like, he's so big. Was it like that? I was bawling. I literally was like wrecked. And I was like, he's so beautiful. He's so, we think we know him and we don't. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just a blubbering fool. Was I not? It was beautiful. It was a beautiful wrecking. It was incredibly messy, but not sloppy. Just to clarify. But the Lord opened my eyes on that day, and I saw what I felt like were the heavens opening up in that room. And people began to, I felt like there was an atmospheric shift. I mean, it's kind of like the Ezekiel moment when God's like, just lay there naked for 365 days and let my people receive a message, you know? But I want to talk to you about this. Was that too much? Sometimes stuff comes out of my mouth and I'm like, crap. Like that. Let me stop now. So the other day I was walking with my dog, because I walk out in my backyard with my dog about two or three times. It's like my mental emotional break. And I'll leave my phone up and I just throw his ball and speak in tongues the whole time. Literally, I just speak in tongues and throw his ball. Speak in tongues, throw his ball. And as I was doing that, the Lord kept reminding me of 1 Kings 19 and Elijah, the story of Elijah. And so I went back to because I heard the Lord, I felt the prompting to read. And so I went back and I read the story of Elijah when he was running from Jezebel. And I was shocked at how much senses took place in this one story. He falls asleep, and an angel touches him. You understand that the Bible talks about angels, it depends on what you're reading, approximately about 365 times in the Bible. 104 times of those are a man interacting with an angel. The New Testament talks about speaking in tongues 12 times. I don't know why I did 12. 12 times. So why are we normalizing interaction with angels? It talks about it 104 times in scriptures where man interacts with angels. And so Elijah was touched by an angel and he felt it. It woke him up. And then the Bible says that the angel prepared bread on a bed of coals and water for him. Now, I don't know. I mean, the Bible doesn't say he ate of that bread. But we know he falls back asleep and an angel touched him again and he woke up again. And again, there was more bread. And it was a bread that would sustain him for a 40-day journey up the mountain. This was not your ordinary bread. Something supernatural was being eaten here. Something supernatural was happening. And then the Bible says that he heard the sound of God's voice. Listen to me. Furthermore, when he comes out of, he heard the sound of God's voice saying, come out of the mouth of the cave and I'm going to meet with you. And so he comes out of the mouth of the cave per the sound of God's voice and he experiences a great wind, but he was able to discern, even though I feel wind and I hear wind, it's not the voice of God. And then he felt an earthquake, which surely I would be like, surely that's the presence of God. But his senses were so exercised that he not only felt the touch of an angel, he not only tasted supernatural bread, but he could recognize what wasn't God. The earthquake was not God. Then he felt the fire, but the fire was not God. And then he heard a small whisper, and he heard the voice of God. A lot of times people ask me, like, how do you hear from God? I'm like, God is always speaking. We don't have a hearing problem. What we have is a recognition problem. See, we've come to recognize all the other voices in the world that we don't recognize the voice of God because we're not reading the word. We're not practicing the word. You don't have a hearing problem. You're not recognizing. You're not recognizing. But in this passage, we learn that Elijah, his senses were so exercised that he could recognize what was God and what wasn't God, what was angelic and what wasn't angelic. I wonder what the smell of Garden Eden was like. What was it like sensually to live in the garden? What did it feel like? Come on, to be naked and feel the coolness of the Spirit, soothing your body, to smell the fragrance of all the fruit, the smell of his excellence, the sound of his presence, the feel of his presence. Come on, you know, we teach our children recognize us. They learn to hear that the sound of our voice is what love sounds like, that what we smell like is what smell sounds like, that our presence is what love is like. And the more we recognize, the more we spend time with God, and the more we surrender our senses to him, the more we're going to recognize, ooh, I smell life in this counseling room. Ooh, I smell life in this counseling room. Oh, I smell grapes. My waiter just came up to me and I smelt something foul, and God is revealing something that he wants to deliver that person from. Come on. I smell, I hear, I taste. Spiritually and supernaturally. Hence the shirt, there's a super on your natural. We probably should have said there's a super in your natural, because remember, he's inside of you. I am going to open up the altar. We're going to activate, because I think this is an important word for this season, because we need to have our senses exercised so that we can discern between good and evil, and we can smell love. And I hear the sound of love, and the sound of, I can smell worship, and I can smell prayers, and I can taste the goodness of God. Come on, how many of you want to be reading the word of God and get the taste of honey in your mouth? How many of you want to be in the presence of God and it begins to smell like Christmas? Come on, how many of you want to be getting prophesied over, Mama Shirley, and you begin to smell strawberry shortcake, bearing witness that this is a sweet and a good word? Come on, how many of you want to smell in the Spirit? Getting our spiritual senses so exercised that we can discern between good. It is time, people of God. We hear it all the time. Let the Lord have your mind. Surrender your, come on, I want you to let him have your senses. I'm telling you, COVID was out in front of us, stealing what we didn't even know we had. Smell. Taste. How bizarre. Come on, that's demonic. That is bizarre and demonic. But it's very likely that the devil knew the power you have in your sniffer and the power you have in your taster and your ability to discern spiritual atmosphere. It's possible that the devil was on to something that we have yet to figure out. But tonight we figured it out. Tonight we went through scripture. We read passages that talk about the soothing aroma of the Lord, the smell of worship, the smell of prayers, the smell of life, the smell of death.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to click subscribe so you can catch each episode every month. I want you to walk in your fullness. For more information about other services and resources, head to my website at www.lisa-schwartz.com. You can also find me on YouTube by searching Lisa Schwartz LLC. I look forward to connecting with you. Remember, enforcing purpose, it starts with you.